Good.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers. Steve.
Sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carl's.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 28. I'm Nick Perzanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
I am currently deathly ill, so make sure you sanitize your earbuds after this.
Steve Morgan.
We have a T-Rex.
And Charles Caldwell.
Dean Massimo.
Terrible.
Does anyone know what Charles is talking
about? Feed me all night long. Cause if you feed me, see more. I can grow up big and strong.
I love it. As long as I am the only one that's completely confused, it makes it awesome.
What is that from, Charles?
Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Does it have to be mine?
That makes sense.
Where am I supposed to get it?
Seymour. Baranus. Stop stringing your goddamn kids and feeding it to the player.
Well, he blew up his kids in the second one. And then, goddammit, he shrunk himself in the third one. Whatever happened to Rick Moranis? Is he still alive?
I have no idea.
I just read an article about this. It's kind of sad. His wife, like, died. And then he like quit acting after that.
Oh, that's terrible.
Not to be horrible.
Can only imagine it. Every person he runs into is like, "Hey, it's Rick Moranis. What you been up to lately?" And he's just like, "Shut the fuck up."
Dang.
Anyway,
on a lighter note.
He did do the voice in like Brother Bear 2, which came out in 2006. So,
yeah. See, if I was gonna be an actor that just retired from acting, I'd be a voice actor.
That's what he did. Basically, he started doing voice acting.
Yeah,
that'd be sweet because you never have to see people. I mean, like really see people.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go ahead and get into some news this week. First one. Gone Home, the PC, well, so far PC exclusive game, that won best PC game for IGN last year, is now coming to consoles. I don't think it's been decided which one yet, or if it's going to be both, but,
you think it would be all of them?
Hopefully.
It's going to come on one.
Well, all
so
of them, if
PC,
you,
it should be it.
If you mean all of them by Xbox One and PlayStation 4, because I truly doubt it's coming to Wii U.
Why not?
But I'm really excited about that, because I don't play PC games, because I have a laptop that shits the bed when I, you know, try and start it up, so. I'm excited, since that got such good reviews, and I know it's not quite a game, it's more of an experience, but.
It's art!
Yeah, it's a game that I've been wanting to play. I just haven't gotten around to checking it out. I don't know. It's I mean, everything I've seen, everywhere I've looked, it's always gotten great reviews. And
yeah.
It seems cool.
Seems like a cool like storytelling.
It says they planned it to be like a couch experience.
Yeah, and so for me, it's like I like a lot of these games, so I would totally get into it. I mean, I'm cool with adventure games and stuff, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Should be good.
So, well, hopefully that comes soon. I think that they said they want to bring it to consoles in 2014, so whatever that means.
It means they got, like, 8 months.
They're going to release it right before holiday season. Cash in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because everyone's going to be running out buying it for their kids for Christmas.
I really think you should have this critically acclaimed indie game.
Every 8-year-old's dream.
He's like, why? There's no guns? No one dies? You can't
what
even
happens?
Die in it?
There's not even any other characters in this game.
That's what the grandmas are going to be getting their kid, their grandkids.
I don't want to sit around.
I think you should really have this game, Johnny.
I feel like this is a game I want to buy for my parents.
Yeah. Isn't it about a kid, like, coming home from college and...
Yeah, so no one's there and stuff.
Yeah, and you go around trying to figure out what happened. And you piece things together by, like, notes and diaries and...
It was Satan!
Yeah.
It's like Myst.
Myst.
Oh my god, Myst was...
scary.
Friggin' creepy.
Scared me.
And it was hard.
Well, it's really hard.
All those games were really hard.
I can't believe there's been Ridden, 5 of them.
Myst.
Yeah.
Anyway, other releases this week. 2 actually pretty big releases. Titanfall. First of all, Titanfall. Huge. Huge
yeah,
release
that,
this week.
That was big, and I played last night midnight
no
release.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, I played like when it came out at midnight, and I don't know, there was already people that were like prestige, so I don't even know this is possible.
What?
Jeez. I think there was early access.
There must have been early access.
And
yeah,
it carried over?
Yeah, usually.
I don't know. I played in the beta and it didn't, but...
beta won't, but if there's early access, it'll carry
over. Sure, I don't know. I don't know how you got early access, though. Maybe you had to buy the digital deluxe version or something, because I pre-ordered it. Anyways, so there was a lot of people that were playing already, and it's been really good. It hasn't had any issues, like, server-wise. It hasn't had any issues, you know, like, downloading, all that stuff. So as far as, like, back-end stuff goes, I mean, usually we take this for granted, but... you know, midnight releases and games have been pretty shoddy lately, so...
yeah.
So, the fact that there wasn't anything to say about that is actually a good thing.
You got on PC, right?
Yeah, I got on PC, yeah. And
seems like they kept things pretty minimal to avoid that sort of issues.
I think... I'm not 100% sure, but, like, since it was released at 12 Eastern, I'm not sure if it was, like, a rolling release date based on your time zone. Like, that would make sense for them, but I don't know if that's how it was or not, but... yeah. So it released at midnight, which usually isn't always the case with games because of like West Coast and stuff. But
right,
and it's totally multiplayer, right?
Yeah, I haven't even played the single player. I'm not even really sure what.
Is there even one?
What's that?
Is there even a single player? I was under the impression it was totally multiplayer.
Oh, I see. What
and
you're
there's
saying.
Single player like elements, storylines inside of the.
There's like
actual
a
actual multiplayer.
Yeah, There's like a campaign multiplayer mode where you essentially go through a storyline, but like every level is sort of a level that you play, and
right.
you can complete it on both sides. So you play always as like one, you know, faction every time. And I don't know how it works with matchmaking, like it like matches up with people that are on the same level as you or what. But you know, we had people coming and going. We beat the whole thing, but it's hard to really follow the story on multiplayer because it's just people talking and. I mean, there's cutscenes before every level, which is, like, kind of cool, but, like, I'm just, like, you know, I'm fighting in the battle and someone's yelling, and I'm, like, I don't even care. Like, I mean, it's just,
I
like...
I got your nose!
it's like, we need to win this battle! I'm, like, it's a team deathmatch, like, stop screaming, I'm just trying to kill this guy right now. So it's really cool, though, I've had a lot of fun. I've raged a lot about, like, Interp and some other things, but... that's pretty standard, I think, with most first-person shooters lately. I've been kind of like that. And, yeah, I mean, I won't go into the super details of the game, but it was, it's similar to Call of Duty in that you feel comfortable with it, but I would say it's different enough that you don't, it feels different. It's fresher, and, I don't know, it's cool. I like it. It seems fun so far.
It's good to hear about the servers, because a couple podcasts ago, I think we were talking about potential server issues.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's you guys might know this. I don't know if it's server based on the games or if it's host based or not. I've only seen it one time where it like couldn't resolve the server right away and then just automatically did. But I mean, I've never had a something where like, you know, I had to find a new host when someone left or something. So, but I never had that really problem in Call of Duty Ghosts either, because I think it had some kind of way of integrating like people together or something. So I'm not totally sure how that's working in the game, but it seems to be fine. It seems to be running fine. No.
Very cool. I'm actually interested in getting in on this game.
You guys have any other questions about stuff in it?
Titans,
yeah. The Titans are cool. I mean, I talked about it before when I played beta. Yeah. But,
I don't think we need to rehash, really.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's cool. It's fun. It's good. It's got, I mean, now it's not beta, there's a lot more, obviously. It's similar to Call of Duty. There's a prestige levels that you can, like, go to 50 and restart. And
are there different types of mechs now?
There's different types of mechs, yeah. I think there were in the beta, but I didn't know. But you have, like, essentially you have, like, a normal layout, which is your guys, like, in Call of Duty. You'd have, like, you know, what your weapons are and your attachments and all that. And you also have that same thing for, like, your mech. So you have weapons and attachments. And then there's three different, like, chassis, which are, like, pretty much, like, light, heavy, tank or something, you know. And those things adjust how fast you can move around, but also how much health and armor you have. And then the weapons are all just, you can just decide whatever weapon you want with any guy, so...
And how high you can jump.
you can't actually jump in the mechs.
But
so, yeah. So
that, you can't jump and then rocket yourself across the building?
No. So that's like kind of the like downside of a mech, is that you are kind of stationary. You can slide around. You're much faster than people running and stuff, but...
Yeah.
Like, you can't really... If somebody jumps over a wall, like a person jumps over a wall, you're kind of screwed. If they run into a room and you can't, like, see them.
Didn't you just crash through a building?
I don't think it's a destructible environment.
No.
That would be awesome, but I think it would also make the game like complete chaos. Like everything would just be like a pile of rubble by the end of the match.
That's what I was expecting.
Yeah, that should be the goal.
The thing is, there's
destroy that building.
Started getting good with like certain little exploits in the game, like you can drop your mech down on people and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
They just crouch and you crush them.
They have timers, so you have to like time it right. But if you drop your mech like on people or other mechs, you kill them. Just pretty awesome.
Oh, you mean from the sky?
Yeah, it shoots down. That's why it's called Titanfall.
I thought you were talking about just like crouching and just squishing something.
No, you can step on people, and you do it all the time. It's pretty cool. And they can jump on your back and shoot you, but then you have like counters and stuff. It's like, yeah. There's a lot of strategy, and it's pretty well balanced, I think, for the most part.
It's good.
Nice.
Would you say for someone like who's looking to get into like the one big shooter that's out right now, would you say that Titanfall is pretty much it?
I'd have to play it a little bit more. I think that it is kind of cookie cutter in some sense, and I think that some of the only thing I would say right now, like from my first impressions, that might be a downside from the game is that there's not like, it doesn't seem that there's a lot of customization and expansion with weapons. Like there's only like 10 primary weapons, like 4 secondary weapons, and like 4 or 5 skills and 4 or 5 grenades and stuff. So the amount of like uniqueness that you can do is kind of limited. So I think the popularity of the game is going to have to be more less on like what COD was, which was just grinding, getting levels, getting camos and all these things for your guns, and just trying to be like a boss and having all these call signs and like, you know, like icons for your guy. And it's going to have to be more about like the actual, like people are like, it's going to have to be a competitive thing, which I think it can be. It just, that's a popularity question. If it's popular enough, I think it will be. But it's kind of like, I would say it's almost a mesh of like Halo and Call of Duty. Sort of. It has, like, sort of that feel to it. So you have, like, some... The only advantage you really get is by having essentially a vehicle. Or having, like, a position. You don't get, like, these kill streaks where you just have a helicopter that destroys everybody and you get 20 kills in a row.
Right.
So it's completely different. I mean, it's a lot more... Everyone's kind of even at some point, you know? And if you're really good and you can sticky a warthog and you blow them up, like... It's just as easy, you know, as, like, not having it. Yeah. So, like, it's kind of, like, on that level, I think. It's a little bit of an advantage to have a Titan, but not... It depends on what situation you're in and how you use it, so...
That's cool.
Nice.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I might actually... I haven't seen it or played it anywhere yet, so... I might have to do that when we head down to PAX or something.
Yeah. Get your parkour on.
Yep.
I love I'm in a Titan.
I love me some parkour. Hardcore parkour. Another release date thing that was announced this week is that The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is delayed until, I think, February of 2015, which is...
sucks.
Yeah, kind of bummed about it, but...
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, the expansion on this game is way more than... And it's like the going from The Witcher 1, the expansion that The Witcher 1 went to Witcher 2. The Witcher 2 is way bigger and just more expansive, and that's what they're trying to do for this. They say it's actually going to be a bigger world than Skyrim was, so...
I kind of want
them to take their time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because honestly, like, I pre-ordered... At the beginning of this year, I pre-ordered, like, I don't know, like, 7 different games, and I almost did The Witcher, but that was, like, the last one on my list, because that was, like, the RPG I was looking most forward to on next-gen consoles, and...
It looks really beautiful.
It looks great, I mean, yeah.
I thought that the graphics on Witcher 2 were really nice, and The Witcher 3 has kept that... I mean, it's kept it pretty much consistent, but just the option of having open exploration in the world with that those type of graphics, I don't know. Those graphics just really appeal to me. They just seem very, very... I don't want to say that realistic, but just very appealing.
Yeah, agreed.
Everything glistened and was shiny, and the sun rays were beautiful. It's just really well put together. So
the trailer was pretty good too, where he beats up the dudes.
Is that the one on the ship?
No, he's like in a swamp or something. And these dudes are like attacking someone else, and then he just destroys them.
That's the trailer for the third. The second game's trailer was when the other Witcher was killing people on the boat.
Oh yeah,
and that was also sweet. But
did you play the second one, Charles?
Yeah.
And did you like it a lot? Or?
Oh yeah, I liked it a lot. I liked the first one, but I never quite got into it. I mean, I beat it, but I never really was like, oh, I'm going to play this again. But The Witcher 2, I've actually gone back and played again because I really enjoyed the game.
Cool. Yeah, I've seen a lot of the stuff about it. It looks really good. I've just never played it. It's cool.
Who put something down on Hearthstone?
Yeah, so today is the Hearthstone officially went from beta to live, so you can download it now for PC or Mac. And I didn't know this, but apparently it's coming to iPad also.
Oh, really?
And they're also planning on bringing it to iPhone, Android, and Windows tablets. So that's pretty huge. I had no idea.
That's a big market right there.
I don't know, but to have Hearthstone on my phone, that's dangerous, man. That is extremely dangerous. But yeah, I thought that was cool. As someone who play a lot of Magic Online, and there's a lot of people who have like switched over to Hearthstone because it's just such a it's a cleaner, more like modern version, and it's kind of the same idea, and there's definitely a lot of interest in it. So I think by going to like touch interfaces, it's gonna garner like a huge audience, and it's gonna to have Hearthstone on iPad and iPhone, man, that's gonna be insane. It's just gonna be the productivity worldwide is gonna drop the day that's released.
That's sweet. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Wasn't there also?
Oh yeah, this is. Oh god.
I was just gonna say, wasn't there also an announcement about have you been playing Starbound? Is that a game you've been playing, Tim? Or
yeah, I haven't heard any announcements though.
I think there was potentially a leaked release date, but I'm not like official release date because it's still in beta, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't know what the date is. I only saw headline.
Yeah, they've leaked some stuff about progression and they have like lots of there's a lot they want to do with the game. So I would be surprised if the release date was anytime soon. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if it was.
What was the what were you gonna say, Tim? Before that.
So the other news item that I saw was apparently Valve has officially open sourced their Direct 3D to OpenGL translation layer. So to basically to describe that, that's on Windows, which is what the vast majority of games are written for. They use Direct 3D, which is kind of like their hardware language level. So like when you code in Direct 3D, it tells the video card what to do, and everything on Windows uses Direct 3D. And then the kind of the open source version is OpenGL, and that's actually what PlayStation uses mm-hmm. OpenGL, but Xbox and PC both use Direct 3D. So as part of their like push for SteamOS and kind of Linux gaming, they've released their it's a translation layer, so it makes it really easy for developers to take their like Windows-based games and convert them to be able to be played on Linux. So it's, you know, part of their push, which is really good news for anyone who's like a custom PC builder, anyone excited about SteamOS.
That's sweet. That'll
cool.
Hopefully,
it's going to help games that are initially designed for Windows just get over to the Steam box. The Steam
yeah,
OS
so
stuff.
Basically, the idea is that you just a little more complicated, but you just shove the translation layer in there, and then you can port your game to Linux. Cool. So there's already actually a pretty big, I don't know how many games there are, but there's quite a few games on Steam for Linux, so this, if anything, should make that number go up.
Nice. So the weekly segment this week is video games controlled by your mind. Broad statement.
I control video games by my mind through my keyboard.
Fingertips.
My mind.
Look at the nerve impulses.
I guess. I guess you do. You know, at all times, like control video games with your mind because your hands are like a tertiary controller. You tell your mind tells your hand to
unless
do
you're
it.
Playing against me in Dota, and then you don't you couldn't possibly have a mind that was that's like that's like subhuman mongoid response mechanisms. primordial
use
ooze. It's like Brownian motion. Like, hey, you're moved out of the base just by like randomly clicking on the screen by default.
Semi related, but I wanted to mention it. I just found out about this thing. I took like a survey for like a Steel Series. I don't know what it was, like a giveaway or something. But apparently, they have a thing that's like an eye tracker that you can buy, and you can use it to like track your eye. And it has different things it can do. One of them is like for Dota, and you can just like set up a hotkey on your keyboard, and you just look at the mini map. And then you hit the hotkey, and it'll jump you to anywhere on that mini map.
Yeah.
So you can keep your it seems like it's mainly made for Dota because there was so many different things you can do to like speed things up. The other thing was like you hit a button to bring up your map, and then you just look at a spot, and it sets it sends you right there.
That's crazy.
And it seemed pretty cool. They're using it to play like WoW too. You can use it to like walk around and move around and stuff. So it's kind of
neat. You just look at where you want to go, and they'll take you there.
Yeah, basically, it's kind of in the same realm of mind control, but not quite as
pretty
cool.
That is cool.
Not quite as insidious.
So I mean, the idea, this stuff is certainly feasible. So we're not talking about something that's way in the future. It's happening now.
Yeah, I feel like also there's something that I didn't bring up before, but like. I probably should have like sent you guys this article, but there's actually been some things now recently, and this is kind of like going off on sort of another whole completely different topic tangent, but it's related, and that they're able to actually do like prosthetics now that you attach to your brain.
Oh yeah,
and you can like and you can control them. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it. Where you like move, they can move the fingers and stuff.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's kind of like backwards ass. Like if you like, I saw the procedure they did on this one woman where they like gave her like an arm which you could control with her brain. And then basically all they really did, it's really crude. Like they just take these like this chip or something that has, like, you know, like, and they just kind of shove it in an area of the brain that they think, like, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, when you want to move, like, you're this part of the brain, like, so they just kind of shove it there, and then she kind of has to, like, teach herself, like, how to, like, fire those neurons, essentially, like, when she wants, so she, like, kind of has to, like, learn how to use it, and then, like, and then once she learns it, it's like intuition, and she just moves it, like, kind of like almost like relearning how to use a limb or something. Or like being a baby, essentially. So it's kind of cool, but it's also kind of very crude. Like, it's not like they can just, like, stick something in your brain and then your arms feel the same and now they're robot arms. So.
Right. It's like she probably has to think about Cheetos.
Yeah, exactly. Like
bananas for...
You put in the wrong center of your brain and you're, every time you're moving your hand, it's murder, 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 murder.
Charles Cortesium. That's like a section of the brain that you own.
High five. Jab, poke.
Spirit fingers. Yeah, but anyways, I mean, I feel like more general, like, this topic was supposed to be, like, kind of more, like, on all these different types of brain detection hardware which have been implemented on video games. I think video games are also, like, the very easiest way to, like, prove that you can do it, right?
Right. Yeah.
They're like, oh, see, you can make Mario jump. Like, it's so much better than, like, see, you can make this person, like, well, like, it's just so, it's such a binary response that everyone can, like, relate with, I think. So what else would you do? Like, oh, this person can hit enter on the keyboard with their mind? Like, no one gives a shit.
But I think it's also part of it is, like, it's much easier to translate, like, movements to your mind than it is to translate, like, I think it would be a lot harder to, like, type something out or, like, you know, conjure words with your brain than it would be to, like, move a dude, you know, something like that.
Depends on the movements, I think. Maybe more than one movement at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, and
well,
I was just gonna say, looking at some of the articles that we were looking at, you know, I think they're in the most basic form so far. Which, I mean, it's still, like, ridiculously amazing, but it's like, you know, you're doing one thing, or, you know, you're kind of throwing something, or, you know, there's a couple different commands, but there's no, like, complex tasks to do.
And I think a lot of them actually are very even... I mean, I don't want to downplay it, but in some ways I think that they're, like, not necessarily actually using... They're not think... It's like, it's more like, you know, if you think... If you're calm right now, you can jump higher.
Right.
Or if you're, like, focused, then you can, like, you know, throw this thing farther or something. So it's more of, like, a measure of, like, activity, or, like, a measure of, like, certain zones of activity. It's not really, like, associated with actual, like, telekinetic properties. Like, I want to actually make this guy move, and then something outside of my head like, tells something to make it move. It's more like, you know, I'm just decreasing the function in my brain so then I can, like, do something else. So, yeah, I think I still got a long way to go, but it's pretty impressive.
I mean, it's cool too that it's not just. I mean, I feel like a lot of game stuff starts with, like, a science background, or vice versa. That they're using it for, like,
for, like, scientific research.
Yeah, and helping out. What was it? ADD and stuff. And having people focus on stuff and kind of bringing them, helping them bring them to a different place. But
it's really interesting too if you think about the ramifications of something like this. Like, being able to interpret, like, the mind is something that's so not understood right now, and that, like, that the implications of this are so far beyond gaming, it's, like, unbelievable. But the fact that, like, it really is sort of, in a weird way, whether or not, like, it's gonna go anywhere, but it's, like, sort of almost, like, sort of nucleating around gaming now. It's, like, sort of starting there for some reason. But, like, people want to, like, they want to, like, play these video games with their mind. They want to interface with things with their mind.
How could we be exactly. lazy?
I mean, I just imagine me sitting on my ass and just, like, I can literally just, like, roll out of bed and I can just play a video game and then, I don't even...
People just have TVs, like, hooked up, like, above their bed so they don't even have to, like, roll over.
Right. put this helmet on and then...
It's just...
I feel like things like Kinect, or like Wii and Kinect kind of spurred this, because people saw that, like, there's alternate methods. There's different ways, like, interface with games.
It's only a matter of time before we figure out the range of brainwaves, and then we can hack into them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, too, and I think these might be related to some listener questions, so maybe you just want to say those, and then I'll give you my opinion on this. Maybe I just want to do one of them. Because they're related to this, right?
Yes.
Sure. I think that this first one's good. I like this one.
Okay. So the first listener comment that we had, I asked on Twitter, what are your ironically what are your thoughts on controlling games with your mind? And at Rock City Roller 1 said, I think I would feel weird staring. Just staring seemingly blankly at the screen. Imagine the faces you would make. And that's the first part of his comment. And I think, honestly, like, that is absolutely true. Like, total silence. Like, you'd just be like...
I don't think you realize how much faces you probably already made.
Oh, absolutely.
If you ever watch someone play a video game, just actually really watch their face, it's pretty awkward.
Yeah, that's why I don't like having the video camera on when I'm streaming on Twitch. It's like, oh, god damn it, that's actually how I look.
Yeah.
I like every once in a while I play Halo with my dad, and I just like watching him play because he's like... First of all, he moves the controller all around, like he thinks, like, if you swing the controller, it's going to move something game, and then he's always making some sort of face, like, and yelling angrily at it, but it'll be weird to see, like, how that, you know, kind of evolves, if you'll just, like, scream loudly in your brain instead of your mouth.
Yeah,
just do this a lot.
Internalizing your rage.
Yeah.
Dana says I have a video game face, because... It's just, like, this, like, severe, like, concentration, but also a form of, like, anger. Like,
yeah.
It's all mixed into one.
I think life expectancy will drop by 10 years once this goes on. It's like everyone will internalize all of their rage. You won't be able to smash any, like, controllers or your keyboard. You'll just be like... You'll be jabbing your own eyes out or something.
Gaming peripheral sales will drop like a stone. No one will be breaking them when they get angry.
I have a problem with blinking when I play games. Like, my eyes get so dry because I'm just like...
Oh, yeah.
And after, like, a while, I'm just like, have I blinked for, like, a couple hours? Like, I don't even think I have.
One of the things that is kind of... It depends on the game, but this could be a real problem is... it's like every 6 seconds men think about sex. So it's like... What would happen if you're playing a video game? And it's like it's
sexual,
like,
intercourse.
Well, if it's like with the Mario Party games, where you have to draw a picture or something, and all of a sudden it's like, boom,
penis just comes out.
Yeah, let's just hope we never get to the point where we can convert thought to image, because that would just be there'd be a lot worse ramifications
at that
point.
Yeah, we'd have, like, no relationships ever again, so the society would turn into, like, this, like, you know, you would be lying in your bed with a video game thing strapped to your head, because you'd be the only thing you have left.
It makes me think of that South Park where he gets shitter, and he just, like, broadcasts, I don't know if you've seen that one, but Carmen gets in and just, like, broadcasts his thoughts, but the only people on shitter are Cartman and Alec Baldwin, and it's just, like, I mean, you gotta watch this, it's really funny.
Sounds awesome.
One of the articles that we had posted was those cat ears that are controlled by your thoughts, and apparently they had a YouTube advertisement where it was like they're like, you can, it's supposed to be for young people to go out and, like,
show their romantic feelings towards people without actually having to say them. So apparently, okay. Like, I don't know, I don't know what the difference is, but apparently there's...
They're furries, uh-huh. Cream in their pants.
My ears are erect, therefore I love you.
You're just like, dude, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's your ears. You're going to take care of that.
That's ridiculous. And actually, this is sort of on a tangent. I actually saw a Kickstarter that was for like the same thing for dogs. You put these things on your dog, and then like supposed to translate like what they're thinking. And then it has like a little like has a little speaker that's like food. It just says like pet me, and just like has these like standardized responses. It just like maps their brain. I was like, it has like so much money on Kickstarter. I was like, holy shit, I gotta find.
Dude, I stutter.
It's so ridiculous. Oh god, brainwaves, man.
Yeah. Back to human brainwaves. The second part of Rock City Roller One's comment was, it'd be interesting to see how difficulty would be portrayed in mind-controlled games. Would difficult thoughts be in place of difficult button combinations?
This was like this was a really, really good point when I read this.
That's
question.
A great point, yeah.
And this is like actually kind of a terrible thing, right? Like, if you think about this, that would mean that, like, pro gamers, like, people that are really good at video games, would just have to be, like, maybe not necessarily smarter, because intuition also, like, plays a part, like, however you want to, like, interpret that, but you'd just be, like, guys that are super brainiacs, essentially, right? They're just so, like, they're just, like, sitting there with these giant brains that are just, like, able to, like, internalize everything, like, and then you're just, like, I'm dumb.
Anymore?
Yeah. It wouldn't have to do with like muscle memory and muscle reflex at all anymore. It would have to be strictly an intelligence or, you know, a brain
thing. Yeah. Your brain function would have to, like, you'd have to have like the most efficient brain functioning to be excellent at a game.
I don't necessarily think it would. I think it would be about a 1-to-1 for the normal player when they're playing, because you need to remember the difficult button combination anyway to do the thing. So just remembering what it would be in your mind would be pretty much the same, but for like anyone who would button mash, it would really suck because you'd be like X square square square.
I mean,
square, circle,
what would that be
square,
in thought form? It'd be like thought vomit, just like.
It seems like you could extrapolate this even further. Like, if we got to the point where we could, like, if there was like feedback where you could almost interact with your thoughts. And then have it kind of make it, like, for, like, a really hard game, it, like, clouds your thoughts. So now you have, like, feedback that makes it harder for you to think to do the right thing.
So now you're talking, it's screwing with your own brain chemistry to make it harder to think?
Oh, yeah, when you get shot, it...
Oh, you should just shock your hand or something. That's crazy. Oh, God!
Yeah, that's a great...
I feel like sales of aspirin are going to skyrocket.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is a great point to be made.
And the rate of cancer quadruples in the gamer population. In the brain
yeah.
I have the tumor.
It's not a tumor.
Sir, it is a tumor. It's the size of a fist coming out of your nose.
Yeah. Let's go to Paolo.
Paolo. At Paolo _VGHA. He says, my thoughts are, wait, my character is moving on its own. I have to stop thinking.
And then you don't stop thinking at time, you just run off the cliff.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to run off that cliff!
Well, that's the thing. Like, games where you're like, I don't know, open world or something, you kind of... When you're getting from place to place and you have a control in your hand, your mind can wander and you can just keep moving in that direction without thinking so much. But like if you were controlling it with your mind and your mind wandered and you started thinking about something else, like then your character would just be like all fucked up and
spinning in a circle. or like running forward and then running back, because your brain wouldn't necessarily know how to interpret the brain activity. So it's just like, well, I'll just do what I'm told.
Yeah, I feel like it would make like, I mean, like it makes me think of like World of Warcraft raiding and stuff. For boss fights, like you always have to be thinking about timers. Like, do I have to move in a couple seconds? Do I have to go over here? What do I have to do? And to like be constantly living in the moment would make that like way, way harder. You'd almost everything would be reactionary instead of proactive.
Yeah. It'd be rough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Hopefully not.
I feel like I've wanted to say that this episode like about 10 or 20 times. I feel like that game would be so hard, so I'm like
penis.
Don't hurt yourself.
Internalizing it.
At Frozen Gamers.
That's what she said.
Yes!
At Frozen Gamers, I asked another part of the question I posted on Twitter was, "Do you think you would like to control games with your mind, or would you be a controller holder?" And At Frozen Gamers says, "Controllers all the way. Considering how many random thoughts I have, it would just mess up controlling with my mind."
Yeah, that's pretty much what we just were talking about. It's yep. I mean, you're just trying to do anything and. Just random thoughts like, oh shit, I'm glad I'm playing video games instead of friggin' thinking about being at work. And then all of a sudden your character's like, I don't know what to do. I guess I'll throw away all of the stuff you've been farming for the past 8 hours and throw it all away. And you're just like, no, you've been kidding me, I'll kill you. And your character doesn't know how to interpret your rage. And so your character then is like, oh, okay, I guess I'll run into this mob of all elite... This all elite creeps and die like 15 times.
Oh, you're angry with yourself? Okay, I guess that means I'll throw a grenade at my feet.
Yeah. Oh! I guess that means I'll run out into the middle of the kill zone.
At Frozen Gamers also said, I could see it being as bad as many voice-controlled games were back in the day. And I think the biggest thing with that is just like the feedback that your character actually gives you for thoughts.
What games were voice controlled back in the day?
I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, I know like I think it was Skyrim, you could do it on the Xbox. And I think you could do it on one of the new Mass Effects, Mass Effect 3, with the Kinect. You could like give commands to your squad and stuff. It was too gimmicky for me. I never used it because it was.
Oh, I thought it was gonna be like shouts and Skyrim. I think it would. Zohar!
I think like you know it's a good idea, but it's kind of like with the way the Xbox One works now, where a lot of times it kind of gets in the way when you don't want it to.
But the voice controls with the Xbox One, where it's like Xbox, so, Xbox One, you know, watch TV, or Xbox One, turn off, and it's like okay,
yeah,
yes. Do you guys have anything else that you want to add?
No.
To this. All right.
I think it's going to be a very interesting but tedious addition to the video game genre. Video game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna. I think the mind, like controlling stuff with your mind, is going to be big for the scientific world and less big for video games.
I think the controller is pretty much set. Controller and keyboard and mouse are pretty much the best way to actually do a lot of the complex things and. Do the complex things in the most diverse way, because, I mean, though you can probably program stuff with your mind, it would really, each game going from one to the next would have to be totally non-standardized, unlike the controller or the keyboard and mouse. It's just, you can't standardize how somebody thinks, so some impulses for one person could be totally different for the other person, and it would interpret it totally differently. So it would you probably have to play the game for, like, even if there was some, like, teaching method where it would slowly get to know your brainwaves, you'd have to, you literally have to be doing that for probably like a week or two before it could, like, really get honed in on what you were doing, or you can even get honed in on what it's trying to, how you would control things, and nobody wants to do that.
Yeah, well, I think the technology has a long way to evolve, but I think it's like what you said, it's one of those things where it's going to have to be calibrated to every person individually. Like, you're going to have to sit through and go through, like, weeks, if not months of tutorials to train it. Like, maybe see a guy jumping on the screen, and then you have to, like, internalize that thought, and then it associates that thought with jumping. So now whenever you think that thought, you'll jump in the game. So something like that, where you have to go through and kind of map your brainwaves to
it's like
different
mnemonics. I think about a hamburger. And that means that I jump. I could never do that. I just be like, hamburger. I really want a hamburger.
Scribble knots are going to become insane.
Well, I think that brings us to our top five for this week, which is the top five worst mind controlled games, or games that you'd control with your mind.
Worst games to control.
Correct.
Worst games to be controlled of while you're playing.
Number one.
Worst games to take control of your mind.
Number one.
Number one.
Resident Evil. Because we're gonna make it a habit of putting Resident Evil on every single one of our top five lists for some reason or another. But honestly, Resident Evil or like Outlast or any other survival horror game, it would just be like it just wouldn't work at all, because as soon as you get scared, your mind just like gets all fucked up and you don't know what to do, because like, I mean, in like these fight or flight situations in like in survival horror games, your muscle memory and everything is more what you're doing. So like your flight capability is more muscle controlled than it is just like mind, you know? So if you were controlling it with your mind, you'd just be like, fall in a heap and just let it kill you.
Also, you,
yeah, I, the more I thought about this, the more I thought this would actually be a really good idea. 'Cause I feel like you could have like easy mode where it could like sense when you're really scared, and then would like, you know, send you into a field of unicorns. But if you were like really sadistic, it would like get scarier when you were scared. It would just like pummel you into submission by scaring the crap out of you.
I think it would be really tough with these sort of games as well, because if you run across something and it's like a game where you have bullets, like Resident Evil, your impulse, I mean, when you actually have the control in your hand, you can only shoot as many times as you can click. And you can somehow moderate yourself that way, but if it was with your mind, it's like, oh, I should shoot every freaking bullet I have. Blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, oh, no ammo. Oh, crap.
I mean, I think this could be a liability, too, because I feel like you could design it to wait until someone is their most calm, and then just have it, like, shock them, like, you know. There would be, like, a huge surge in heart attacks and other, you know.
And they're
issues.
The advertising on the front of the cover could be 3 out of 5 people institutionalized.
It monitors the endorphins in your system and how the triggers are going, and then its goal is to minimize the amount of endorphins. You're less and less happy as you play the game.
It just puts you into
deep
depression.
Its goal is to make you miserable.
Number two.
All of the Mario or Wario Party games, because they're ridiculous enough when you're trying to navigate them with a controller, but if you had to do any of those things with your mind, it would just be, it would just drive you angrily insane. I'm Mario and I'm on top of a ball and I need to stay in this thing while this thing rotates around, or It's WarioWare, and you need to like act like an elephant. But how do you act like an elephant without your tusk? I mean, without your trunk. You need to make a trunk with your mind. So it's just, it would not be good. It would be a terrible party game. Everyone would be just sitting around, like, staring at the screen, and nothing would be going on. There would be no excitement. You're just all, like, drooling subhuman mongoloids. Great party.
Can you imagine what parents would think of, like, this sort of situation? I mean, parents think, like, poorly of... Like, you know, if the four of us were playing, like, some multiplayer game and we had controllers and we're, like, you know, swearing and all this stuff. But if they walk in and their kids are just, like, zombified on the couch and, like, staring straight ahead.
They'd be like, they're here.
I think you're underestimating that. There are a lot of parents who would be very happy to have something that caused their kids to turn into zombies that didn't make any noise or run around and destroy things.
All right, you can play this during 8 and 10 o'clock, which is mommy and daddy's sexy time. Oh, God.
I feel like also, like, you could still be, like, crazy, even if you're, like, using your mind, you know? It's like when you're watching a sporting event, you just go crazy. You're not actually, like, doing anything physical, so.
That's true.
I mean, you could. Yeah. You could, I mean, just saying.
Maybe if it's part of how you play the game and how your brain works. Sure. It's like, I need to kick you in the ass to do well.
I think if you were watching, you'd probably... Like, if I had to watch Charles try to draw an elephant or be an elephant in his brain, I'd probably be like going, oh, shit!
So the key, I think it would be really good for, like, versus games, though. Like, because someone could totally, like... You wouldn't know, like, who was controlling what, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, see, games where you want to have, like, you know, secrecy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like crazy. Madden, you could pick your plays in your mind.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Number three.
Oh God, this one, number I can do this. This is we have Tetris, but this applies to any, like, puzzler, really. Like Bejeweled, like any of these games that we bring up in this category. I feel like this would be miserable. Especially if you had to interpret all your movements, like, individually, like, move Z piece to right one spot, rotate twice, rotate, down. That would be, oh, God.
Yeah, anything with, like, speed, anything that's, like, you know, measures by how quickly you can do it, I feel like it would be hard.
That would be really rough.
However, if you could just, like, interpret it, like, intuitively, that would be pretty awesome. Yeah. Because you could just spin the piece, like...
Well, I gotta say, Family Feud would be vastly improved on me if it was...
When was the last time you played Family Feud on a video game?
On the Wii. Yeah, we bought it.
Sorry, I asked that question.
I think the last time I played it, I have it on NES.
I was gonna say that's.
It was like, honestly, like,
that one's way better.
I came back and played that game, like, in later years, and it definitely does not hold up at all. It's one of those games where it's like, out of top 100 people, questioned or whatever, yeah. And it's like, what are the top 5 cars this year, and 3 out of the 5 don't exist anymore. Yeah.
That'd be cool, though, if Family Feud, like, surveyed everyone who was playing. So, yeah. Like, you could, like, someone was thinking about someone really horrible, like, what the fuck? Why is he thinking about dead babies?
Yeah, that's... And also, like, can I just say, like, all those old NES games where you had to type in words were, like, the worst. Yeah. Like, trying to play...
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Trying to play Wheel Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune. Oh, God. You're like, so
you
have 15
seconds to write a paragraph.
Yeah.
Like, Jeopardy would be like, you know, like, what, like, school did you guys go to? And you'd be like, St. Lawrence. And you'd be like, S-T dot, and you'd be like, yeah. St. Lawrence, S-A-I-N-T. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I had it. I just didn't type it right in the game, because...
Yeah, on Jeopardy on Sega Genesis, they actually had, like, a digitized Alex Trebek voice. And it would go... I'm sorry. Like, if you got it wrong, He'd be like, I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
Like, damn it, Alex Trebek. Bring back your mustache.
Suck it, Trebek.
Suck it, Trebek.
I'll take the rapists for 500. Number four.
StarCraft 2 or any RTS that's going to require a lot of micro, macro, and general intensity.
Yeah, I feel like the technology would have to be really good to like do this. If it was like, if it was like worked well, it'd be awesome because you could just like, you could just in your mind plan out all your dudes doing everything. You wouldn't even have to move the mini map. You could just have them do it. But otherwise, man, it'd be miserable.
Yeah, you need to focus on one drone at a time. Like, you need to go do this. You need to go do this.
It would basically turn into the hive mind, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the game would go by so slow if that were the case.
Yeah, that'd be rough. So the Koreans would find a way.
They always do.
They would harvest children from a very young age and have them like just train them in the ways of mind control for video games, and then that would be what they do for the rest of their lives.
Truth.
They wouldn't know anything else.
Start your bunker now, people.
Mm-hmm. Mind control video games of the future.
Put on your tinfoil hats.
Number five.
I put this one down because I have a difficult enough time playing it with an actual controller. Is aircraft simulators. And I can only imagine how ridiculous this would be trying to have it sync with your mind. It's like, all right. I've got everything. Yeah, I've got everything going. I'm going up in the air. And all of a sudden, boom, boom, crash. I crashed the first 50 times, probably. It's like altimeter. Yeah. You need to make sure the wings are level. You got to make sure that everything is sequenced. It's just, I would fail miserably every time I played this if it was rhythm mind.
Too much happening. Yeah. Any kind of simulator wouldn't be all that fun.
Well, you know, we're not all dissimulators anyway, but then someone might find fun.
I remember this is a tangent sort of, but I had I think the last simulator game that I played was Driver's Education 1999.
Oh god.
And it was like it asked you questions, but then like, so you had to take the driver's test, but then you had to go out on the road, and it was like a simulated driving course.
Did you have that?
You could drive anywhere.
Did you have that on
anywhere
computer?
You wanted. Yeah,
I think I played that with you at your old house.
I think you did.
I think I remember playing it. Was we just tried to awful. Kill people. We tried to kill everyone. We tried to like go off the road, do horrible things.
Yeah, and because like as when you would go off the road, it would be like oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would try and go as fast as possible, and I got really good at like getting off of highways and not stopping and taking 90-degree turns. And it would be like, you're going too fast. It's terrible. But,
cool simulators.
Mm-hmm. So that's our top five this week. So that brings us to the part of the podcast where we talk about what we've been playing. So what's everybody been playing? Tim?
I've been hopelessly addicted to Diablo 3, and I've like fallen back in big time. But there's like a huge XP bonus now for like everyone who plays, so I've been just grinding out levels. And I originally had never gotten my wizard to level 60, so I finally hit 60, and now I'm Paragon. I'm like Paragon level 50 something. But there's some people who are like Paragon level 500, like it's insane. They finally lifted the cap, so there are people who are like going crazy on it. But it's fun. It's definitely different. The loot's better. It's you know, it's good. I'm excited for the expansion now. But that's about it.
Are you planning on playing Reaper of Souls?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. It doesn't come out till the end of March, I think. March 20th or something. So I got a little while to think about it, but I'm having so much fun, I'll probably get it anyway.
That was odd.
You're Charles odd. Just...
Yeah, you were frozen on my screen for a second there.
Yeah.
And then you
just... My internet just died, and then it came back. And I was like, okay. I'm still recording.
As long as your audacity is still going. That's good. That's all that matters.
Popping in and out.
Steve, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Titanfall the last like 24 hours, and haven't really done much work. But I also played South Park Stick of Truth, and
how was that?
It's pretty cool. It's I'm not that far. I'm only a couple hours or so into the game, and it's pretty cool. It's just on PC too, but it has the functionality to use a controller, and I kind of tried both out. I think I haven't really decided what I like more. It does have some timing based mechanics in the attack, so if you like hit a button right when like a certain thing happens, you get like bonus damage or stuff like that. So in some ways the controller is nicer in that, but it's pretty like the movement's pretty standard, so it's not really like you need to dodge stuff or anything, or like running around is pretty standard, so keyboard's pretty easy, so it's pretty cool. I'd say that so far the game has actually been kind of like not that grindy, almost like not grindy enough for me as an RPG, but somebody who probably doesn't like RPGs would like it a lot. And but the best part about the game is it's like watching an episode of South Park. It's legitimately like the same quality. It looks just like an episode. Your character is like in, you make a guy, he's your guy or whatever, and you're like in the show essentially.
That's awesome.
And it's very much like the show, like the movement when you go upstairs and you go around things and you run and stuff. It's like directly out of the show, and all the voices and stuff are obviously, it's very cool. Yeah. It's like almost like getting an extra episode, but you're in it, and like That's awesome. Interacting in it and stuff, so it's pretty cool.
I was watching someone stream it, and it was like Randy doing something. He was like on a strap to this thing, and you had to like push buttons, and if you push the wrong button, it like shoves a giant probe up Randy's ass, and he's like, "Oh, not that!"
It's so funny. There's so many like inside jokes from the show, like almost everything. You know, like you go like whenever you go into like a store in the game, it's like you know the. That Jennifer Lopez song from like the taco, it's like taco taco burrito burrito taco taco. It's like then you like go into like everybody, like every character's house, like you go into their closet and it's just like all these different paraphernalia from all the episodes they're in, like you know Cartman's closet has like beefcake t-shirt and like all this shit, so it's like clearly like you know just like taking all the shows and like just really like just like bringing them all together, and it's pretty good. It's I mean that part is the why I think it's worth it to play. Because it's just, if you're a big fan of it, it's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And the game's been good so far. I'll see how it is as I go through it, but...
Cool.
Good.
Charles. Am I the only one left? I've still been playing Kingdoms of Amalur, but I also started playing Castlevania Lord of Shadows. And I gotta say, between the two, I'm liking Castlevania Lord of Shadows more right now. Kingdoms of Amalur just got really boring. Really boring. But we'll see how it goes. Castlevania Lord of Shadows is just like... I don't know exactly what to compare it to. It's kind of linear in its scope. But it's more like... It's more like God of War type thing. Or Ninja Gaiden. Mm-hmm. Where you're just combating things and you get items and fight. More, or Darksiders too. I mean, all those games is very similar style, adventure, combat. Whereas Kingdoms of Amalur is RPG. But it's just not, I don't know, it's just missing some specific component that would make it a much better RPG. I think it's atmosphere. It just doesn't have a really great atmosphere. So, that's it.
Nice. I'm still playing Thief.
Because you can't beat that like one part where the guard spins around in circles.
I got all that part. But the there have been a few parts. I mean, I've had another similar thing happen where it's just like a guard like is like walking into a wall and he's not stopping. He's just kind of continuing to move, and I don't know. It just seems really glitchy, and the cutscenes are still real bad. Like not fluid at all. It's really weird. Sucks.
They blew it.
I mean, the game's kind of like I'm still kind of enjoying the game, but it's not what I was hoping.
They certainly don't make it easy for you to enjoy the game if the cutscenes aren't great, because they're supposed to motivate you.
Yeah, I have no connection to the story whatsoever at this point, which kind of really detracts from everything. So, I'm kind of meh about it. I'm gonna finish it either way, because I finish every game that I play, except for very, very few games that. It's because it's not unplayable to me. It's just not what I was looking forward to.
No. Good to know.
Yeah. So anyway, this is the end of our podcast.
The 20th podcast.
I want to thank Rock City Roller 1, Paulo VGHA, and another podcast friend of ours, Frozen Gamers, which they are out of Alaska, so go to listen to them too. So yeah, thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 28. It's late, so I'm going to bed.
Peace.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve.
This game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
So late.
Peace. Dude, I got an invite to ESO Beta. You suck it. Suck it. Who doesn't want to play that beta for the seventh time?